Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Desitarine Om Ajnana Timirhandasya Gyanagyana Salakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha So tonight we will hear the final segment of this divine pastime. But let me summarize a few key points. First of all, Krishna told the boys to tell the ladies, I have come. I have come. And when they saw, and when they said that, they understood, the boys understood how serious these brahmanas' wives were to go to him. And then they went, disregarding everybody, disregarding everything. They saw him. They saw him and privately embraced him. And he entered through their eyes and into their heart. And then he sent them home. He accepted them and he sent them away. And they made one very wonderful request of him, tearfully. They begged him, please do not let us accept any other destination than you. And please remove the obstacles that are stopping us from being with you. And Krishna told them, when you go home, you will see what happens. You should have not even one speck of anxiety. So quite quickly, it seemed very clear that they had received the blessings of an inner transformation. And although they fully believed that upon their return to their village, they were going to be killed for disobedience, they were now unconcerned. They had him. Whenever they wanted, they could see him. And they were so different when they returned to their normal duties. So please hear now this final segment of this beautiful pastime. Feeling that it was not proper for them to remain a long time with Krishna, who seemed reluctant for them to be there, the women very quickly placed all their offerings out of their pots onto leaf plates and other containers. And then taking their pots back, they respectfully left. Turning back to see him many, many times, somehow they started walking towards their homes. They were going to preserve the reputation of their families. And oh, Krishna quickly blessed those ladies who were gazing back at him. And wherever they looked, they saw the beautiful black form of Krishna dressed in golden garments, which they had seen in the Ashok Grove, and which had produced such astonishment for them. And after a long time, they slowly returned home. But what had happened there? Seeing that their metal cooking pots had suddenly become transformed into pots made of jewels, and that their houses were now transformed into jewel-like palaces, the brahmanas were astonished. They had no power to speak even a single word of rebuke to their wives. They could not understand how this had happened, but they had remembered that when Krishna was an infant, he once filled the basket of a fruit lady with jewels. From that moment, the brahmanas became obedient to the intelligence of their wives, and they accepted Krishna's position, and they adopted the same devotional ideas already embraced by their wives. The brahmanas were reflecting upon their wives. Although we heard so many things, we paid no attention to our wives, no attention to their devotion. And we ignored their requests for articles to serve Krishna. Nevertheless, our saintly wives directly took food and offered to the Supreme Lord, the creator of everything. Although we are supposed to be intelligent, it seems that that same Lord who showered them with mercy covered us with illusion. Compared to them, we are fallen, weak, foolish. Then the wives returned. When the wives returned, everybody in the family was overjoyed to see them. They welcomed them back with the greatest respect. Krishna's association had transformed them. Now, they displayed ecstatic symptoms like crying, Their eyes were closed. Tears were pouring from their eyes. They were trembling. Their hair was standing on end. And now they were enchanted by Krishna's delightful character and unlimited beauty. Their hearts surged with continuous bliss. They existed now in a transcendental state, far beyond any knowledge, spiritual knowledge, or Vedic piety. Their hearts were saturated with divine love. Seeing their wives had reached such a pinnacle of purity and bhakti, these effulgent brahmanas smiled proudly. They showed more respect to their wives than ever before. In fact, they honored them more than the Shastra, more than gurus, and more than any other brahmanas that they knew. It was not surprising that they stood up and greeted them with the greatest of affection. For anyone who sees somebody who's deeply in love with Krishna will also develop love for him. Then the brahmanas lamented. Seeing the transformation of their wives, the brahmins immediately understood their own mistake, and they entered into a mood of deep, deep repentance. They felt themselves to be so sinful, and they lamented. They lamented. To hell with our knowledge, they said. What is the use of all these years of study if we could not recognize the Lord Himself when He came before us? Instead of a blessing, this knowledge is a curse. We do everything as prescribed in the Vedas, except bhakti, which is the actual goal of the Vedas. So, what is the meaning of our Vedic activities? The Lord took birth in Mathura, and so did we. And yet, we could not recognize Him. So, what is the point of everything we have done in our lives? We now consider everything petty, fallen, and foolish. Oh, to hell with the vow of celibacy that we took before our marriage. To hell with our lineage as expert ritualistic priests. To hell with our expertise in yajnas. What is the gain of it all if it causes us to become vimuk to Krishna? Our wives never underwent any disciplinary training. They never studied. They never learnt Nyaya. They never practiced meditation or purificatory rites or rites of cleanliness. But look, look, look at the intensity of their love for Krishna, which has inspired them to act so boldly. Then the brahmanas, along with their wives, completed the yajna together. The brahmanas felt very ashamed. There was one Brahmin lady. Let me tell you about her. This one lady was forcefully kept home by her angry husband. And hearing the description of Krishna's beauty from the cowherd boys, she absorbed herself in loving meditation on him. And she lost external consciousness. And then she saw Krishna standing before her. He said, "Give up everything and come and live with me in Vrindavan." After receiving this order, she prepared herself to meet him. She abandoned her mood of identifying as a wife of a brahmana, and within one moment, she obtained a spiritual body for enjoying blissful pastimes with Krishna. Her intense love for Krishna forced her to reject the control of her husband and submit herself fully to him. On account of her complete attachment to Krishna, and because of having seen him once in meditation, no obstacle could now diminish her ever-increasing love. And thus, she adopted the principle of rejecting a lower thing for a higher thing. She continued living at home in a spiritual body just suitable for pleasing the Lord. As the ocean waves continuously break on the shore, the desire to see Krishna constantly, constantly moved within her heart. And by the strength of her devotion, she cut all the bondages to Maya and developed an intense yearning to be with Krishna. And at that stage, she considered her husband and her family to be no more important to her than straw on the street. A moment later, she left her material body. All the brahmanas were astonished by this, because they knew that even great Mahayogis cannot leave this world in such a way. And the ladies who returned, the Yajnapatnis who had seen Krishna, praised their friend who could not go out. One lady said, "No one in the world surpasses her fortune. Not only in this birth, but in her previous births. She must have been serving Krishna for a long time." And after saying this, all the wives of the brahmanas, all the ladies, all of them gave up all attachment to their families and showed complete indifference towards their husbands and their family members. And seeing this, their husbands now considered their wives to be their gurus. If these ladies had not gone to see Krishna, leaving aside everything and everyone, no one in their family could have understood bhakti. Meanwhile, Krishna, with his own hands, he served the feast to his numberless friends. He praised the delicious foodstuff, which was carefully prepared by the ladies with deep love, because Krishna always enjoys anything that is offered with love. And as they were relishing sweets, Madhu Mangal, he started being a bit talkative. He said, "You know, even though this meal was obtained by begging, it is as delicious as nectar. Even nectar is not as delicious as this meal. I wish to pick up even a tiny crumb that has fallen to the ground and become covered with dirt and eat it." These ladies should build a cottage just near to where we like to play, and they can stay there and cook and cook and cook all kinds of delicious vegetables and soups and cakes every day. And then your friends can offer this food to you. And of course, because of my position of honor, I should be the first one to enjoy these glorious meals. How could there be any fault in that? But fearing your anger, I have no power to even speak these suggestions. Then Krishna turned to Madhu Mangal and he said, "Oh, voracious Madhu, intoxicated by the desire to enjoy delicious foods, you have now become completely shameless." And then, laughing, the cowherd voice said, "Dear friend, if he is so eager to eat delicious foods and fond of patting his belly, his overstuffed belly, then this lazy Batu should himself worship the Brahmin ladies, and he should build himself a leaf cottage right next door to their cottages, and they will feed him every day. In this way, he can enjoy to his heart's content. Krishna laughed and replied, "You have spoken well. I will repeat all these suggestions to noble Purnamasi." Then Madhu Mangal said, as if he was angry, "Oh, Prince of Braj, even though it is they who are greedy and wish to fill their bellies by eating more and more and more, these boys speak in this way about me. It is they and not I who am eager to become fat by begging." The cowherd boys looked at Madhu Mangal and they said, "You are a talkative Brahmana, always eager to recite mantras and perform yajnas. We have closely examined you people and we know what you are like." And then joking and laughing and talking and playing, Krishna ate. Although, do you know, Krishna's appetite was only very small. He only ate a little bit. And his lack of desire to eat and his lack of appetite was due to the pain of remorse that he felt for not fulfilling the desires of the ladies who had pure love for him. Then after finishing his meal, Krishna and his friends all drove the cows home, playing his flute in order to extinguish the fire of separation within the hearts of the Braj gopis, who were anxiously awaiting his return. Hearing that melodious sound, all the Braj plants and trees and creepers in all directions, all around, became enlivened. Keeping Balaram in the front, Krishna walked into Vrindavan, surrounded by his friends. And none of the boys told their parents about how they went begging from the Brahmanas. What about the Brahmanas? Did they get to meet Krishna? Well, as soon as the Brahmanas understood their mistake, they wanted to go and see Krishna in the Ashokvan. They prepared themselves to go and surrender to Krishna. Yet as they were leaving, the presence of Kamsa entered their minds. And they understood that since they were such well-known and respected personalities, they were Kamsa's priests. If Kamsa's spies discovered that they had gone to meet Krishna and Balaram, then Kamsa may give trouble to the residents of Vrindavan. And therefore, they did not proceed. However, knowing that their hearts and their minds had changed, Krishna went to their village along with Nanda Maharaj and the village elders from Nandagram when they were preparing everything for the Indra Puja. Both Krishna and Balaram resided in their village for 2 weeks just to give association to those saintly Brahmin ladies and also their husbands. And finally, when the Indra Puja was cancelled, the Brahmanas very eagerly participated in the Govardhana Puja. And they too had an opportunity to remain with Krishna for a whole week when he held up Giriraj. And then the Brahmin ladies offered yogurt and unbroken grains. Together with the cowherd women, they offered these items to Krishna. And they also gave a blessing. They said for Krishna, their blessing as Brahmin ladies was their external blessing. May you subdue the wicked, protect the civilized, give pleasure to your parents, and become enriched with all opulence. Thus, the beautiful pastime of Krishna blessing the Brahmins' wives, whose hearts had now become the dwelling place of Krishna, is now complete. So we finish here, thinking of those ladies who were willing to sacrifice everything and who were willing on Krishna's order to even go home, fearing, certain that they were going to be killed. And the amazing transformation that Krishna had already arranged for them. And how they were also internally, completely with Krishna from that time onward. Hearing this pastime should give us some sort of hope that maybe somehow, at some very distant time, we too may want to meditate on Krishna deeply, and he may want to come and live within us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.